This is State of the Union, the DC 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. I'm Chris Policano. DC 37 is New York City's largest public employee union with 125,000 members and nearly 50,000 retirees. We're part of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, also known as AFSCME. We're on the air Sundays at 8 p.m. and we rebroadcast on Wednesdays at 1:30 p.m. We are available as a podcast on your smartphone. Simply go to the podcast app on your phone and search for DC 37 State of the Union. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Check out our website, www.dc37.net, and stay apprised of DC 37 events and activities by calling the hotline at 212-815-7555. If you have any comments about this show or anything else you've got on your mind, please drop us a line at stateoftheunion@dc37.net. That's stateoftheunion@dc37.net. Your feedback is always welcome. This has been a very long week, and it is not over yet. There is good news and there's bad news. First, we begin with the good news. Last Wednesday, DC 37 and the City of New York announced a tentative agreement on a 44-month contract that will benefit close to 100,000 DC 37 members. In the studio now to talk to us about the agreement is DC 37's Director of Research and Negotiations, David Paskin. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Let's talk about it. Tell us about the details of the contract.
This is a breakthrough contract for us. In the time of attacks on labor, we've been able to conclude an agreement that deals with the members' genuine concerns. We've got significant wage increases of 2%, 2.25%, and 3%, and that we've made some important breakthroughs on issues, social issues such as paid family leave for members, retroactivity, increases in education fund, and we're trying to take care of specific issues regarding inequalities in different titles in the city and people employed in the city.
When it was announced earlier this week, and again, we record on Thursdays, and the show airs on Sundays, so not to make this too confusing, but when it was announced this past week, there was much emphasis on the mutual respect that was shown by both sides and the difference between getting a contract now versus previous administrations. Talk a little bit about the environment with which this agreement was made in.
Well, there were lots of tough negotiations that went on, but throughout the time of the negotiations, which have gone on for over a year, the city and the union, while representing their own interests, showed the fact that under this administration compared to the last one, that the city respects the union. They respect DC 37. We're the first union to conclude an agreement, and that we found an environment in which the city responded to our issues. Everything that we put on the table, we dealt with, and I think we've come out with a contract. It was rough and tumble in terms of negotiations, but that we've come out of a contract that shows both respect and important increases and benefits for the members.
2.25% in effective September 26, 2018, and 3.0% compounded. So that means that the total increases are, on the wages alone, are
7.42% of the overall wage increase over the term of the contract. But the important point also to emphasize is that for most of our employees who are covered under the city contracts, the first wage increase is due last September 26, 2017. So the full retroactivity of the first 2% back to that date, so that pending ratification, which will take place probably by early August, we have to send ballots out protected by the AAA. It'll come back once it's ratified. We'll move immediately for payment so that people would get all of the retroactivity on the 2% going back to last September and to the September 2017. And then the new wage increase will be shortly after that for the next the next increase that's due September 26, 2018.
There was also a lot of talk about negotiating paid family leave and so that our members could get paid family leave. Now, this was in contrast to the teachers who got paid parental leave. Could you explain for listeners just a little bit about the difference between those two and why we felt it was important to have paid family leave?
This is a breakthrough for us. This is often contracts are seen as the money only. And on this contract, the social issue of being able to provide for benefit and leave for not just a birth of a child or an adoption of a child, but for the family members. That means elderly parents can be taken care of, that someone who's on military leave is taken care of, relatives in the house can be taken care of, and that what it provides for is half of your salary up to a cap of $650 this year, and that actually increases over the next 3 years, the amount that goes up. It's paid for by a small contribution from the salary, small deduction from the salary, much as insurance is paid for, and that the payment on that is very modest. The cap on that maximum would be $85 a year for the highest paid employees. And this is a breakthrough. Is that the issue for us was how do we take care of not just parents who are born. Parents who give birth,
right.
That we took care of the family. And that's the difference in the UFT and our proposal. And that given the demographics of DC 37, we felt it was absolutely crucial to take care of the family as well as for the birth of a child.
This is also, I know that Henry Garrido, the executive director of DC 37, talked about not helping to develop the workforce. I think he said that there are 100,000 city workers who are eligible for retirement in the next couple of years, and that building the workforce and having as smart a workforce as possible was important to accomplish through collective bargaining. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. The union made a priority for funding education, and that education is absolutely crucial in terms of providing for new technology, new jobs, new workforce, and that the city needs to be able to assure that they have members, citizens who are out there and members of the union who keep their skills up, and that we actually paid a piece of the contract for a $100 contribution on an ongoing basis for each employee each year to fund into an education fund. That's about $10 million that was put into the education, and that we prioritized that, and that it's again one of those issues where members often look about the money, but that when they turn to the union for benefits, this is a benefit that's going to protect all of us in the future and prevent the city from outsourcing jobs because we have workers who can actually do all of the work.
And in addition to that, we're talking about also there has been a history of hard to recruit and hard to retain titles within the city workforce, and this contract is a beginning in addressing that.
That's right. There are two features of this contract that deal with that. We have money that can be spent in each bargaining unit to deal with the issues that the members feel are crucial within their own negotiations. And we've also set up a panel, an equity panel. It's a tripartite panel with a neutral in there if we can't reach an agreement on what the title should be. And that we've put a small amount of money relative in terms of the contract to take care of that issue, and that we will try to address issues particularly regarding recruitment and retention and new licensing, new types of jobs that have come up, and that we wanted to make sure we balanced the wage increase against what we would put into an equity panel, $12 million, $13 million put into a fund that will deal with inequalities in terms of development in the workforce and in terms of the private sector in relation to the private sector and our jobs.
We will talk in the next. We will speak in the next segment about the Supreme Court decision, Janus versus AFSCME. We were talking about it a great deal last week with the head of the Illinois AFSCME Local Council 31, who was the defendant in the case. There is language in the contract that talks about protecting union rights. Can you talk a little bit about
sure.
that?
Sure. The union, not just DC 37, nationally is under attack. Everybody knows that. We wanted to provide in the contract whatever protections we could in the negotiations that allow for access on the part of the union to make sure that they can reach out to new members, know who they are, provide for the fact that dues get transferred as quickly as possible, certainly within 30 days, so that any reduction that would take place as a result of the anti-union Supreme Court decision would be made up for, at least in part, by the quick transmission of dues. All of this now is in the contract. Some of it was embedded in state law before. We thought it was absolutely important that we put it in the contract because administrations change and that we don't want to be in a situation where they would modify the law, and now we have and control our contract. The other feature is we wanted to make sure that we control the contract so that regardless of the anti-union rules they put out there, the question of going to arbitration is protected by us, that the union makes that decision, not someone bringing in their own attorney to represent them and perhaps get a ruling that hurts everybody in the union.
You know, we are very lucky to be in New York in this way because we have a pro-labor governor. New York really is a labor place. If you're out in Wisconsin or if you're out in Iowa, you are fighting for these rights. I know that there's been a commitment made by the city to enhance the communication between the union and new members. I'm not sure how that works, but there was
What we provided for is that when someone is a new member, we have now a right, and now it's both in the contract and in the law, to actually see those members within 30 days, and it's an obligation now. It's not simply something that we want to do, that every new member is reported to the union and that our staff will go out and talk to them. We can't make them join the union, but they certainly should understand that the protections that the union provides and the benefits that the union provides, and that the idea would be let them know who we are, let them understand that this isn't just a big bureaucratic institution, but it's the lifeblood of what makes this union strong and makes workers as a group strong. And
we've got about 1 minute left. We're talking with David Paskin, DC 37 Research and Negotiations, about the contract. Finally, we kept premiums for health care free, and that's guaranteed through
health savings. There are two things that are really important in this contract. We've kept premiums free. We're probably the only municipality in the country now that has no cost for health care. And we also, in that negotiations, provided for more money to the welfare fund to protect people's drug benefit. All of this was done in conjunction with a health care savings from the Municipal Labor Committee. This is now a citywide commitment of all of the unions, not just DC 37. We all recognize the extraordinary rise in cost of health care, and that our contribution in this way to the city is to try to bend the cost on health care. In order to maintain free, no premium health care, we have to recognize that those costs have to be controlled. And we are doing our part to control them. And in recognition of that, and in part to fund the agreement, we've done that in the conjunction with the wage increases that we have overall. It's an overall city commitment and important for us to make.
David Paskin is the head of DC 37's Research and Negotiations Department. We've been talking about the DC 37 economic agreement that is a tentative agreement pending member approval. And explain again briefly the ratification process.
Okay, the delegates have approved the agreement. The ballots will be going out, sent out by the American Arbitration Association, neutral body, and members will receive those ballots in August. We'll count them, and then hopefully this tentative contract will be approved.
David Paskin, head of research and negotiations for DC 37, thank you very much for coming in and talking about this.
Thank you. Solidarity to all the members.
We'll be right back.
Were you a September 11th responder or volunteer? Were you present at the dust cloud on 9/11? Do you live, work, or go to school in the New York City disaster area on 9/11 or in the following months? Do you now suffer from problems such as chronic cough, shortness of breath, anxiety, depression, or have other symptoms? If so, you may be eligible for the World Trade Center Health Program and could receive medical monitoring and treatment at no out-of-pocket cost to you. To learn more about the program and get an application, go to www.cdc.gov/WTC or call 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care. Call today. 1-888-982-4748. 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care.
We're back. This is State of the Union on 91.5 WNYE FM, the DC 37 radio show. This week, the U.S. Supreme Court, by a 5-4 vote, smashed precedent and overturned the court's unanimous 1977 decision, Abood versus the Board of Education, which upheld the maintaining of a union shop in a public workplace. The decision is appallingly out of sync with both public sentiment and the difficult times now faced by working families. And we held a press conference on the steps of City Hall earlier this week. Henry Garrido, executive director of DC 37, Mario Salento, the head of the New York State AFL-CIO, and Vincent Alvarez, head of the New York Central Labor Council, speaking on the Janus decision in the order that I just said. And here they are now from the press conference.
We're here today to denounce the Supreme Court for taking a political position on a long-awaited decision and overturning over 40 years of precedence, and to reaffirm that their decision is against the public sentiment, and that working families have not stuck with the union because of a Supreme Court decision. They have stuck with the union because they believe that somebody's got to have their back, and that's their union.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Today, we saw what politics mean in the Supreme Court. And so we're here to reject the Supreme Court decision. And we are here joined by friends of the labor movement, by leaders, by members that you see behind me. And we're here to reject that this decision that was orchestrated by the billionaires and the millionaires of our society, yes, right, will not have an effect on the membership, because thousands of members, including DC 37 workers, more than 80,000 of them, have reaffirmed the belief that the union is important and that they want to be part of the union.
Yeah.
Our lives will not be determined by the corporate elite. Our lives will be determined by working people like the people you see behind us. Our lives have not been determined by a Supreme Court decision, but the desire of working people to stand up against their employer and collectively say, we are stronger together, we are better together than we are individually, and that's not going to change because of the Supreme Court decision. We will be holding a rally today at 5 o'clock. With thousands of members denouncing the Supreme Court decision. But I want to bring next to speak the leader of the New York State AFL-CIO, our good friend Mario Salento. Mario.
Thank you, Henry. Let me just say this. Two very quick points and two very simple points. This is not a surprise. You know, we've known this was coming for 2, 3, 4 years. Keep in mind, before there was Janus, there was the Friedrichs case versus the California Teachers Association. So this is not a surprise that we are under attack. The labor movement is under attack and has a bullseye on us, and we're under attack like never before. But it's not just us. We're the target, but this is an attack, and this decision is an attack on all working men and women and the middle class in this country, because the right-wing conservative ideologues understand one very simple truth, and that is this, that when the labor movement is strong and vibrant and successful, we not only improve the lives of our members, but we raise the standard of living and quality of life for all working men and women. That's the reality. When the labor movement leads a fight on a $15 minimum wage or paid family leave or raising unemployment insurance benefits, when that bill is signed into law, it doesn't say we're going to raise a $15 minimum wage only for union members. Or we're going to institute paid family leave, but only for union members. Of course not. Everybody prospers. Everybody wins. And that's what, drives the right-wing conservative ideologues crazy. It bothers them that we're all here today from different races and religions and cultures and ethnicities. That's what the labor movement is all about. And it scares them. It scares them that union members in this country make $11,000 more a year on average than non-union members. It scares them that we organized 75,000 new union members in the state of New York last year, 265,000 in the country. It bothers them because they understand that when we are stronger together, we raise those standards of quality of life for all working men and women. So let me just say this. The labor movement in this state with 2.5 million members, with 3,000 local unions representing 24% of the workforce, highest in the country, twice in the national average, will continue to be as strong tomorrow as we are today. Yes. Because we are one labor movement. Yes. Right-wing conservative ideologues really don't understand what they have stirred up here. This is public sector unions as the target, but there's private sector and building trades unions who will stand as one movement with their brothers and sisters fighting for a better today and a brighter tomorrow for our children, for our families, for the future of organized labor. So I say it again very clearly. We are the largest, we are the strongest, and the most successful statewide labor movement in this country, and we will remain so each and every day from this day forward, regardless of the decision. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mario. Thank you very much. Just yesterday, DC 37 announced a collective bargaining agreement for over 100,000 city workers. That was not just for union members. That was for agency fee payers also. They're going to be benefiting from the work of our collective efforts, our collective bargains. It's also going to take thousands and thousands of dollars to implement that very same contract, to make sure that the language that was instituted there is now benefiting them. Is it fair that those folks will now not be required to pay their fair share?
No!
Is it fair that those who are going to benefit from that contract, from that very same collective bargaining agreement that has monumental changes and life-altering changes for benefit, including health insurance, new changes into the way the prescriptions are done for now until 2021. Is it fair that those individuals who have not signed a union card will take advantage of every single thing without being required to pay the fair share?
No!
We don't think it's fair. So the Supreme Court just set up exactly that. But right now, this is a problem not just of DC 37, this is a problem for the entire labor movement across this country. So let me call now the president of Central Labor Council, Vinny Alvarez, to speak with us today. Yeah. Vinny Alvarez.
Thank you, Henry, and thank you, Mario. Terrific leadership, terrific unions, terrific members in this city, and in the part of the as part of the largest labor movement here in this country. So thank you for the work that you all do in framing out what is a very important day for the labor movement and for working people throughout this country. I want to make one point, but let me just give you a little background and a little bit of a 30,000-foot view here. We have seen in this country, literally for several decades now, for over a century, the labor movement has been coming together collectively with working people who don't have the benefit of a voice in the workplace and collective representation, and those who have voted and who have said that they want to come together and make sure through a union that they are able to participate in collective bargaining and in making sure that they are improving the lives of themselves and their families. For over 100 years in this country, we have been part of that. And we have proudly helped the middle class grow in this country. Working people every single day do better in this country because of the work that we have all done collectively together with the unions in this country. And over the past few decades, we have seen an all-out assault from some of the most extremist, far-right, well-financed groups in this country trying to undermine all that, because they know at the heart of that is undermining a worker's voice and power in the workplace. and they want each of us to be able to have to negotiate for these things on our own and not in a collective way. So this decision did a lot of things. And as we said, this decision was not unexpected. But what it did not do and what it fundamentally will never do is change the relationship that we have with our members. It will never do that. And it will never undermine the ability for individuals, individual workers in our society, to want to come together and collectively do what's in their best interest, in their best financial interest, and in their family's best financial interest, and help out and raise communities in and around this country. And it will also never undermine, it will never undermine what we want to do to make this country and expand the middle class and create an economy that truly does work for all. We have done that for decades. We will continue to stand by these workers in this country that want a collective voice in the workplace. That's all they simply want. And we will do it each and every day to make sure that there is hope in the workplace, to make sure that we're fighting for working class families and expanding and doing everything that we can do for middle class families throughout this country. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Vinny. Thank you, Vinny. You know, one thing that the Supreme Court addressed but missed entirely was the idea that this system that has been in place for 40 years is not just good for workers. It's not just good for the unions. It's also good for management. It provides a labor peace agreement where disputes are negotiated in a sensible manner, where we're not running to court all the time. Now you open the door for non-union members to do exactly that. The state of New York passed a bill on April 1st, changing for New York how the approach for non-union members have to take place. And I am here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that we are staying here strong because we're standing for workers, whether they pay a union dues or not. But we will not be required by law to provide services to non-union members. So a message to you, if you're a non-union member, please join the union now. Join the union now. We will be communicating with you as we've been communicating with all the members. We understand the Supreme Court now changes the rules, that you now have an opportunity to not be a union member. But you, and I'm speaking to you directly, you're going to need somebody who's going to have your back. Yeah. When a manager, when a director decides that they don't like the way you dress, or the way you look, or the way you stand, where they don't think you're productive enough, who's going to be there? A union is going to be there for you. The union is going to be there. And for those corporate interests that felt that this is the death blow to the labor movement, let me send a message to you. We are fired up, and we are not going anywhere.
That was Henry Garrido, head of DC 37, Mario Salento from the New York State AFL-CIO, and Vincent Alvarez, head of the New York City Central Labor Council. That's all we've got for this evening. I want to thank David Paskin, the head of DC 37's research and negotiations, for joining us. Announcement before we go, Mels reminds you, Mels, the Municipal Employees Legal Services, reminds you that they provide legal representation to members when applying for citizenship. For more information, call 212-815-1818. Any comments? stateoftheunion@dc37.net. Send us an email. The producer is Rudy Orozco. The sound engineer is Andrea Minocchio. I'm Chris Policano. Until next time, ciao.